miss any of the show? You can get Sheeman and Shepherd all the time with Sheeman and Shepherd On Demand. Available on 99.3ESPN.com and iTunes. This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Is that more of a...
Yeah, it's all shine down today.
Shine down? We're all shine down the rest of the day?
Yeah.
As they're playing at Hertz Arena tonight here in town.
Most of the building's there.
Most of the building is there, ready to go.
Doing a great job, by the way.
Yeah. 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776 is the number. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Joe Nardone from College Basketball Today will join us. We got a big one tonight. It is North Carolina and Duke. And we will carry that game starting at 8:45 pregame here on 99.3 ESPN. Of course, be on the tube as well. And we're all looking forward to the game. Spent a lot of time talking about that. And
they used to do the mega cast for this game.
Yeah, not tonight?
No, I don't think
with
tonight.
Zion Williamson, is there not a better reason to do so?
I don't know. I can remember Reddick's last game at Duke. I think they did like the mega cast where ESPNU had the view from behind the backboard.
Yeah.
You had hometown calls on different channels.
Plus, tickets are going for $2,600 for this game.
Unbelievable.
I mean, this is Super Bowl money.
Well, the ESPN2 has Florida LSU tonight. Big, big game for the Gators. They can pull that
off. They got to get a big time win.
Yeah.
I was just going through the Gators' schedule and what they've played so far. Their best win right now is probably like 2 weeks ago against Ole Miss.
Yeah, they've had a couple of moments, but they've been I think they've underachieved.
They've beat a lot of the teams they're supposed to beat, but just those middle of the road SEC teams that are going to be tournament teams. Mm-hmm. I think the SEC is a 8-team league this year.
Yeah,
it's deep.
Yeah, yep. Louisville, Syracuse, another big game tonight for both teams. There, that's preceding on ESPN before UNC Duke.
Yep.
We'll keep our eye on that. Again, we'll talk more college basketball at the bottom. Obviously, a very disappointing night for my Indiana Hoosiers again last night against Purdue.
I think a win for Syracuse tonight. You get a win against number 18 Louisville. You've got your win against Duke, who's top five at the time. I don't remember exactly where they were ranked, but they've got a tough schedule coming down the stretch. They've got Carolina, they got Virginia a couple times. I think they got another game with Duke as well. They need this Louisville win. Syracuse does tonight.
They do.
All right, so with all that on our plate, I know we want to talk some football too and update everybody on the latest between Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown as well with the Steelers. What's going on there? But before, just real quick, I just ran across something on the internet through ESPN. That the Browns, who still have cap space, are interested in going after Brandon Graham of the Eagles and Ndamukong Suh to add to Myles Garrett. That would be a pretty formidable defensive line. But anyway, just throw that out there for later.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, here's the thing is that with the Steelers, that GM Kevin Colbert spoke today as well. And I'll just read you and take from this what you will. Le'Veon is still a great player. We can't afford to use any other type of tags. Le'Veon will be an unrestricted free agent at the start of the new league year. Steelers stance on Antonio Brown. Won't take discounted rate on trade. Won't release him. Relationship not beyond repair. If can't get good draft picks for him. Quote, by no means are we going to make a trade or any type of move that will not be beneficial to the Pittsburgh Steelers organization. He goes on to say, when asked about the catalyst for Antonio Brown's trade, AB is a highly emotional player, he says, which is good 98% of the time. 2% not so good, but team is betting suitors will value that 98%. Also, goes on to say about, you know, every domino had to fall right if the Steelers tried to pull off a sign and trade off a transition tag for Le'Veon Bell. Plus, the NFLPA likely would have filed a grievance in the end. Steelers recognize not worth it. Well, mid-round comp pick in 2020, probably going to get as we talked about. But here's a telling one. Odd Ben Roethlisberger completely endorsed him on his leadership, citing impassioned speech at halftime in Jacksonville as one example. Quote, Colbert won't curb Big Ben sharing opinions on radio because Ben's the elder statesman. If the players were smart, they'd listen to him. He's been there. Ooh. Mm. So clearly, and that's why there's no way Antonio Brown is playing again for the Steelers. Now, he may sit up, he may get fined, he may stew, he may hang around, it may appear that he might. No way. I can't ever see that ever happening.
But when I keep hearing statements snuck into an article, just 2 days in a row now, that relationships are not beyond repair, that tells me there's still a window where if they exhaust their trade possibilities in their bupkis and they realize they got to keep him, they might as well throw him on the field.
Yeah, but he won't play. That's they know. I agree with you. They might welcome that. He's not going to play. He's not going to do it.
He's a number two receiver.
He won't do it.
Number two receiver?
In Pittsburgh.
He'll do it, and then we'll see what happens.
Number two in the
out.
League.
No juju.
Like I said, I think we're talking about this well into the summer.
And Jason Lockenfora, NFL Network, right?
No, CBS Sports.
CBS Sports, sorry. Yeah. He's reporting that Le'Veon Bell seeking a deal worth $50 million for the first 2 years of the deal.
Good one.
Jets, Eagles, Bucks could be among teams involved.
Well, the Jets are dumb enough to do that.
Okay, so this is a guy that held out for $17 million a year.
And he wants 50 over
now
two.
Now he wants $25 million a year
right. As
a running back. He wants starting quarterback money for a running back.
And just, I mean, I don't think a guy like Todd Gurley did Le'Veon any favors this postseason. When Todd Gurley was the man in Los Angeles all regular season, then gets an injured knee. They signed C.J. Anderson off the streets. The guy comes in and, okay, is he the same player as Todd Gurley? No. Was he effective enough for his team to get to the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Yes. So I don't know that Todd Gurley did Le'Veon Bell any favors or any other running backs any favors, to be honest.
And C.J. Anderson is saying yesterday that I think Gurley was hurt more than we thought. And duh.
Who didn't know that?
We all could see it. The guy was ineffective. Look, it was the same knee that he had operated. C.J. Anderson said something I've never heard put this way that I thought was interesting. He said, look, the dude re-aggravated a knee that he had surgery on. He says, once you have surgery on a knee, you always have a knee injury. You're never 100% again. So for a running back, that's probably true. So...
But I just think this is Ben Roethlisberger's team, and he's got what he says is, goes a long way. No way Antonio Brown ever catches a pass with Ben Roethlisberger again.
Which,
no way.
Ironically, the only person Antonio Brown has caught a touchdown from is Ben Roethlisberger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, never a dull moment there in Pittsburgh, yep. For sure.
I think they end up with the.
So, what's fair compensation, though?
Well,
because you've got the GM saying we're not giving him away for a discount. This is a 31-year-old receiver, but this is a 31-year-old receiver coming off of 15 touchdowns, 1,300-yard season, 100 catches again.
Okay, those numbers you just gave are first-round numbers. Okay, so start there and work your way backwards. Start making your deductions.
Right now,
because he's a pain in the rear, because he's untradeable. Where do you want to go?
No NFL team is going to offer him a first round.
I agree.
Right now in February. Maybe change.
Cowboys gave a first round for Amari Cooper, everybody said it was stupid at the time. And then Amari Cooper came over and started producing like a first rounder.
But that was in the middle of the season.
He is younger.
Middle of the season,
so
too.
Can't you argue
about now?
Antonio Brown's under contract for 3 more years.
Yeah.
The Cowboys made a deal for Amari Cooper with half a season to go in his rookie deal, and then they pick up the option on him, so they get him for a year and a half.
Right.
For a one.
Right.
Antonio Brown has 3 more years under contract, right?
Right.
Yeah, and you can redo some of that money. You can redo that.
But what I'm saying is you've got this guy for 3 more years.
Right.
Yeah.
$15 million a year.
Sit back and relax, and they may not have to pay him at all if he doesn't want to play.
I mean, if you're a team who's close... Like a team like San Francisco, right? Mm-hmm. When they get Jimmy G back, I think that a lot of people think San Francisco is a team that can make a huge jump.
Yep.
Is it worth a second rounder? I have a tough time arguing against it. I get it. He's a cancer.
They would take a second rounder. I mean, I think the Steelers would take a second rounder.
That deal gets done.
They're not taking anything less than a third rounder. Let's put it that way. Right now, anyway. And they shouldn't. They should go for a first rounder. Or a second rounder, and just sit. They got no worries. If Antonio Brown says, "I want to play," okay. Or you're going to play. Going to play for us? Well, I'm not playing. Okay, sit over there.
And don't get paid.
You'll get paid. You won't get paid.
Right.
We'll file a grievance against you. We'll take action against you, and we'll win.
You think Aaron Rodgers wouldn't go banging on the desk of front office for the Packers saying, give up a second round pick for this guy? I can get us to the NFC Championship game if you give up a second round pick.
I think it's going to be eventually agents will start. His agent will start will leak stories about this team interested and that team interested because try to create leverage. But
he's not allowed to do that.
I know
that's tampering.
But he can leak a story. But there will be leaks that this team is interested or that team is interested. It won't directly come from Rosenhaus or that camp, but you know it will. That's how that's how it works. Right. I just don't know if you're any of these teams or 31 other teams. You're gonna stand by. You're gonna take a big deep breath, take a step back, and wait. There is no need to be the first one at the gate saying, "Hell yeah, we'll give you whatever you want." No. They know.
I think
they know. They got the Steelers right now. I mean, the Steelers don't have to do anything.
I get it. The guy's a headache, but damn, he still produces.
Yeah.
He still puts up numbers.
Absolutely.
If you're a team, I can run through them. All the teams that you put him on your team, you're better.
He's doing this with 3 years left in his contract. What's he going to do to another team? But how do they know he won't do this to his next team?
If you win a Super Bowl with him or if you get to a Super Bowl with him, it's worth it. Whatever happens after, it's worth it. There are 31 franchises that would give an arm and a leg to go out and just get to a Super Bowl.
Is this true from 2 through 9? Green Bay has 2 first-rounders this year? That certainly makes that more palatable.
Well, that's that's why you're hearing.
Yes.
Well,
they traded with New Orleans last year when New Orleans moved up to get their...
All right.
Am I thinking of the right...
Yeah, I got the mock draft.
Let's say you do this. You pull the trigger and you get AB in Green Bay or wherever. 3 years left on the deal. Now, AB's big beef is that all of his guaranteed money is up. He's going to want a new deal. Are you going to give him a new deal? Because we've been sitting here going, hey, he's got 3 years left on his deal. Well, does he? If he's going to come
he wants
new money. He wants some new guarantee. He wants it all to be guaranteed.
I can't do that. But I can move it around and give you a hell of a signing bonus.
Then I don't want to play for you if I'm AB. That's what he has said. And
then his market is going to dry up.
But here's part two of this. Okay, so he's got 3 years left on his deal, yada, yada, yada. We all know that the 2 years left on your deal is your new 1 year left on the deal. You start making noise and threatening about Julio Jones was trying to do the same thing. I got 2 more years left, man. I need new money.
It works.
So
they
moved it around. You're going to get a loud, boisterous Antonio Brown. You could say, great, 3 years left on his deal. But, you know, during the first year or right after the first year, he's going to blow up again. He's going to be trying to get that new deal because he's only got 2 years left and he'll be 32 years old. You think he's loud now. Turn up the megaphone. He's gonna be as loud as Shine Down by the time this thing's all said and done.
But what I'm saying is it's worth it because even when the guy has a headache off the field, he really does leave it on the other side of the white line. I mean, when he steps on the field, dude produces.
Now, what if he sticks you in your last game and doesn't show up?
Okay, I can't defend that.
Well, that's the thing. I can't. And that's going to be in the back of everybody's mind if he's unhappy. Now, I'm trying to find the Packers. Their first round pick is at 12. And a lot of people have them taking Ed Oliver.
You're not giving that up.
Where's their second first round
pick? Ed Oliver is going to be available at 12? I don't think so. Ed Oliver's going way higher than that.
I mean, this mock draft has Cardinals taking Kyler Murray number one. And then they have Bosa to the 49ers at 2. Josh Allen from Kentucky that goes to the Jets. Yeah. Williams, defensive line, Alabama, the Raiders. Jonah Williams from Lineman, Alabama.
Yeah, they. So the Packers have the Saints pick. So what is that, 30 or 29?
Okay.
Probably 30.
There it is, 28. 28. Yeah.
If I've already got mine at 12 and I got a late first round.
28, yep.
Late first round, early second is the same as second. Maybe I toy with that.
I think if you call the Steelers and offer them any first-round pick, they're going to take it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't even think you need to do that.
That's what I mean. Why should any team do that? You can always do, I mean, you wait and see. Maybe somebody offers a second or a third, and if you really want the player, then you say, oh, hey, I'll give you one. Mm. But there is no reason for the Steelers to blink right now and do anything. Just wait. Mm. Sit back and enjoy the ride. Antonio Brown can go Instagram ellipticals all he wants. Not going to change a damn thing.
Pete, you wouldn't give up a second round to have him in Foxborough?
I would. I'm saying.
That's what I think. I mean, I'm just saying that there are a lot of teams out there, even the defending Super Bowl champion.
But I'm saying,
where you bring him into that locker room, okay, maybe he has his antics and whatnot, but it's worth it.
Why would any team, I'm saying right now in February, right now this week, why would you go to the Steelers and offer, you start low, you could be seventh round pick, hey, I'll give you six.
But I'm right there with you. Yeah. But if you're the Patriots, to have that security, to say, hey, take pick 64,
mm-hmm.
take our second, it's yours.
Yeah, I don't think.
Is the 64th pick going to help out the Patriots next year as much as Antonio Brown would?
No. But all I'm saying is right now, I don't think any team, unless they're offering one, is going to. You're going to try and get off cheap. You're going to try it with a fifth, a sixth, a seventh round pick. That's what you're going to try to do. If you owned a football team, that's what I would try to do right now. Why? You don't have to offer a one yet or a two. Because you don't need to. It doesn't make any sense to do that. But like I said, there are teams like the Jets that could do it. I could see it.
That's where it makes no sense, where you put him in a locker room where he's the dude.
Yeah.
You put him in Green Bay, he's not the dude. You put him in Foxborough, he's not the dude. If I had a team that was close, I would want him on my team.
Yeah. No, I wish he'd go as Dallas, because that would be fun.
We discussed that. Yeah, I agree. That would be a fireworks show.
Let's be clear, too. Forget about anybody in the AFC North in on a deal. They've already said that. They are not dealing him in the division. And I guarantee you they're not dealing him to the Patriots either. That's four teams right there.
I think they'd almost eliminate the whole AFC in general.
Unless it was the Jets, they might.
Right.
The Bills, I mean, some team like that. But more than likely, they'll be
Jets,
listening to
Bills, Dolphins.
NFC team. I love them to go to the Dolphins. That'd be great.
Titans.
Kyler Murray to Antonio Brown.
You're getting me excited again. I hate when you do that.
Got to keep Chris steady.
Why are Packer fans saying they don't want Antonio Brown?
They only have one diva. Don't need two.
Jeez.
What if Aaron Rodgers is saying I don't want?
I guarantee you he's not saying that.
Oh. 910, Craig, you want Brown in Detroit? No, I don't. I don't.
Oh,
I,
yes, you do.
No,
yeah,
I don't. No, I don't. No.
Why?
I already got number one. And I told you guys before.
Galladay? I love Kenny Galladay.
Whoa.
He ain't AB.
I know that, but you two were telling me how awesome he's going to be. Well, don't flip this script on me.
Wait a second.
You two were saying how awesome he is last week. I said he needs to show me a little something a little more before I'm going
to
go there.
Your quarterback needs to show you a little something more.
However, let me back up just a minute. I am on the record as saying I don't like pains in the asses. I don't like to root for those guys. And so if I'm going to root for my team, I don't want a pain in the ass on my team.
Well, Bill Parcells used to say it all the time. I'm too old to coach jerks. I mean.
And I'm too old to root for jerks. So I don't want jerks on my team.
But he's your jerk. It changes.
Seriously.
It changes that line again a little bit, doesn't it?
No. I don't want him. I don't want him.
You rooted for Lambeer Mahorn?
Love those guys. What's wrong with them?
Nothing, but they were jerks.
No, they weren't.
I would have taken them on my team in a second, but they were
Robert
jerks.
Robert Parrish was the jerk. What are you
talking about? Lambeer had it coming. Everybody knows it.
The whole team was a jerk.
But
the bad boys was tongue-in-cheek. They were really the good guys. they were the champions.
They were McFilthy and McNasty.
Everybody loved Lambeer and Mulhorn. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's what,
great
man, can you imagine?
That's when basketball was basketball.
Imagine Steph Curry.
80-82. Great basketball.
Imagine Steph Curry, how beat up he would get.
He'd be a water boy.
Pinball.
Wouldn't even make it on the court. Excuse me, I got next. No, you don't. Sit down, little fella.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See Rodman go out there and just pound him.
Oh.
Rodman can never play in today's NBA. He's not skilled enough.
Yes, he is. That guy found a way to get position as a rebounder.
I don't need a rebounder.
Rodman would be great in any era because he didn't require the ball to score. He was a great rebounder, and I use the word great underlined.
Absolutely.
And could defend the heck out of you.
And you don't care. Anything over 5 points, okay, great. You don't care. Once in a while, he give you 10 or 20. Well, whoa.
Yeah.
But all you cared about were those 15 rebounds a game. And he had an uncanny way of positioning himself.
Yeah, he'd get you to foul him.
Low post, high post, it didn't matter. That guy was a magnet for the ball.
No Draymond Green.
Please.
It's not
Draymond Green.
Better off. Draymond's better offensively.
Could take lessons
much better offensively.
But that's not what Dennis Rodman's game was about.
Much better offensively.
That's not what Rodman's game was about, though.
That's right. It's all about team. Let's see. Lions and Stafford couldn't do anything with Calvin Johnson. Why would he be any different? True.
Well, that's
a great point
there.
Yeah. 5-6-1, I don't think there's any chance the Texans would trade for Antonio Brown.
No need for him there. I think they're fine at wide receiver.
But you got a better wide receiver. And when Fuller comes back healthy next year,
But I'll tell you what. The Houston Texans are going to, I think, will be in the hunt for Le'Veon Bell. I think you can count on that.
Have they not learned their lesson? You don't need to sign a free agent running back. They messed up with Lamar Miller.
Yep.
Alfred Blue is just as good as Lamar Miller.
I think Jets, Houston, and Tampa Bay are three at the top of the list to go after Le'Veon Bell.
By the way, Bucks yesterday signing Ellington.
Ellington, I mean. Really? Yeah. Yep. And then you got Baltimore, Indy, and Oakland as well for Le'Veon Bell.
Ellington was a big-time fantasy running back when Arians was in Arizona.
Yeah.
Loved him.
Yep. All right, a lot of interesting NFL chit-chat. We're going to switch gears. We got ourselves a big game tonight.
Oops.
North Carolina and Duke. And we're going to welcome our first guest of the program. Joe Nardone is going to be with us from College Basketball Today. We're going to break it all down. All that coming up. Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
One of them thinks cooking is cool. The other thinks white tube socks are. This is Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Also, check out our website, 99.3ESPN.com. Get your kids signed up for the Southwest Florida Junior Anglers Championship. That is March 2nd. Kids ages 4 through 15, up to $5,000 cash prizes available. All right, let's talk some hoops. Joe Nardone is a friend of the program. He's been on before. We welcome him back from College Basketball Today. Joe, welcome. How are you?
Hey, Joe.
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic.
We are good. So is there like a good basketball game on tonight?
I mean, that's what I've been told. I'm not too sure. I'm hearing rumors tickets are going on sale for like $3,500. Wow. So I guess it's a pretty big game.
All right. Well, let's talk some North Carolina Duke. Obviously, you just mentioned the tickets. The tickets are going for Super Bowl-like prices. Obviously, this is Zion Williamson, the curiosity, and all that. What else does this game have to offer that maybe others haven't between Duke and North Carolina? Because they're always a big deal, but this one is really a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane. Obviously, like the Duke hype and all that stuff to start the year started off with a bang. They just thrashed Kentucky in the opening of the season. It's not just Zion Williamson, it's RJ Barrett, it's Cam Reddish, who's had a weird season, Trey Jones. You go down the list of the team, it's always stacked. But then, like, North Carolina somehow magically is kind of under the radar this year. A lot of that's because of the way Roy Williams presents his team. He kind of does the Oz Shucks routine, which is kind of smart. You know, keep the expectations low, stay under the radar. They have some, like, they're a little bit more of the antithesis of Duke, where they have a couple more upperclassmen like Cameron Johnson and Luke May, who feels like he's been playing college basketball since the 60s. So there's been a little bit of a little bit for everybody, and it's a game filled with guys that are going to be drafted in the lottery.
Joe, and the big question is, and maybe there's not one definitive answer, but how is Carolina going to defend Williamson tonight, in your opinion?
I mean, listen, every team has tried a different approach this year. Some teams have tried to double him. Some have run like a very old school box and one. Some people have been trying to just give him all the space on the floor and try to dare him to shoot. It doesn't really matter because it does help that the players around him obviously are very good, which creates spacing, which is really rare in college basketball. There's never really great space in college basketball, but Duke actually has it. And Coach K has done a great job kind of getting out of the way this year and letting them push tempo when it calls for it. So I don't know what Roy Williams is going to do. I'm guessing he's going to throw a lot of bodies at him. It's not going to be like just one guy. It's not going to be just Luke May. It's not going to be just Garrison Brooks or whoever. It's going to be multiple guys. Cam Johnson might get a run at him. I don't think there's really a plan to defend him. I think it's you have to expect he's going to get his and just hope R.J. Barrett and Cam Reddish play awful.
Joe, we were talking earlier, if North Carolina wins this game, there's a three-way tie atop the ACC. You throw Virginia in there. How would Joe Nardone rank these three teams, 1 through 3, Duke, North Carolina, and let's not forget Virginia?
So this is tough, right? You have the Virginia stuff from last season fresh in your mind, and I'm always a believer of you need to be a team that can play variable ways. Like, you can't just play slow and methodical. Like, you have to be able to push the tempo when it calls for it. That's why I'm not anti-Virginia. It's just if they're ever behind, it's really hard to envision them being able to come back like a Duke or North Carolina could be. Duke's talent level is just insane. Not just like, you can just view it in terms of the NBA draft if you want. They have three guys that'll probably be the first 6 or 7 picks. Mm-hmm. But it's also, you know, they're kind of deep. It's not just those three guys. Trey Jones is going to be a guy who gets drafted in the first round. Marquise Bolden, who's a junior, is very good. Jack White, who plays, you know, his numbers never look good, but he's a very good rotational player. And then you go down the list like Alex O'Connell, a guy that could shoot threes. Virginia has, like, just a couple guys that could score, like Kyle Guy. And then North Carolina, who's also a very good team. They have Luke May. They have guys that, you know, in other seasons we'd be talking about National Player of the Year kind of players. But just the sheer talent alone, like Duke's is, the hype wasn't fake. You know what I mean? It was very real. The only thing that could stop them is, you know, like teenagers being teenagers. They're the least, you know, least consistent people on the planet. You can't really rely on them to be great regularly.
Right. How about guy, I mean, Kobe White has been amazing to watch him progress as the year has gone on as a true freshman. Then you got the senior Cam Johnson. Can either one of those guys afford to have even a mediocre night tonight and win this game?
Only somebody like Nazir Little, who came in with more hype than Kobe White, plays up to those expectations. But otherwise, no, because like Kobe White's been a revelation for them. It could be argued that he's, you know, not better than Luke May, but, you know, offensively more important than Luke May has been this season. Luke May is a far more well-rounded player. And if Kobe White or Cam, especially Cam Johnson, because Cam Johnson, I think, is one of the least appreciated players in the country. I know he's been, you know, around the block for a while.
Because he's a senior.
People like the shiny new cars, but he can't have a bad game or North Carolina's in huge trouble.
It's just nice to see a senior, you know, like you said, underappreciated, but I think come tournament time, his name is going to be spoken very highly of, and maybe he even gets drafted in the NBA in the first round.
Oh, totally. I think here, so like, him and Luke May, because Luke May is also a senior. Those are two guys who, you know, NBA draft guys that focus on it. They love youth, right? They mix up, you know, potential with how young you are, as if you can't be 22 and still get better, which I think is kind of a joke. I think you can be 22 years old and still become better at your job. But Cameron Johnson is a very special player who's shown, like, if you want to just go through his numbers, like, if people want to go to Basketball Reference or ESPN.com, just go through his numbers, and you'll see progressive efficiency growth. And it's because he's a guy that can get better. And their point to the NCAA tournament, freshmen, there's very rare instances where there's super teams, like the Kentucky team with Anthony Davis and stuff. But like, you usually need a couple veteran guys, and North Carolina has a ton of them.
Talking with Joe Nardone from College Basketball Today with Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. All right, enough of this Duke, North Carolina talk. I'm going to use you for my own personal gain here. I'm an Indiana grad. I'm very upset after being very excited about this season. What, in your opinion, is going on? This team is incapable of doing anything in the last 2 minutes. That, to me, is coaching.
Sure they do.
But they're, you know.
Turn it over.
Romeo Langford is not living up as a 5-star. He looks like a 3-star at best to me. Tell me your opinion. I've just given you some of mine.
All right, so the good news is, if you want to look at this class half full, I guess Tom Crean left the cupboard bare. The bad news is, I knew that you guys were going to ask me about Indiana. they don't have a good recruiting. Like, they have one guy coming in next year. They have, like, the 42nd or 43rd ranked recruiting class in the country. Langford's going to bounce after this year to the NBA. And like you said, man, it's tough to judge him, right? Because Indiana's two guys. It's him and Morgan.
Right.
And everybody else, like, I don't like being really hard on college players because it's not really fair to them, but they're all bad. Like, you go up and down that roster. Some of these guys aren't, you know, I don't want to say they're not good college players, but they're just not. Like, when Justin Smith is getting run, do you know what I mean? Like, you can't consider like that like a good roster. And It is also coaching. And Archie Miller, he should be thankful he has a lot of supporters in the national media, because I feel like if this was almost anybody else, if this was Tom Crean a couple of years ago, we'd already be asking if he should be fired. I don't think he should be. I think he should be getting, like, I think a coach should get that full 4-year recruiting cycle. But there's really no reason to be optimistic right now, even though I was an Archie Miller guy going 2 years ago when they hired him, and I don't see any reason to be happy right now.
Let me ask you this, giving Indiana fans and their arrogance, and I'm one of them. and having lost, like, what, 11 of 12, that has never happened. And the fact that you got one Steve Alford just sitting there unemployed right now, might that become something to look at?
Listen, I didn't think about it until you said it. So Steve Alford does come with a ton of baggage, like a lot of it. Not just the UCLA stuff. There's stuff dating back, you know, years prior. It's pretty well documented. We won't go on into it here. But, you know, there's that connection, that home connection to the school is obviously very important. If Alford's willing to sit out a year, because I can't see Indiana moving on Archie Miller this quick.
Okay.
I'm certain the buyout number is insanely high. I know Indiana isn't afraid to spend money either. If Alford's willing to sit a year, Archie Miller gets that one more year run here, and things aren't going to turn around, which it doesn't really project to, because Langford's going to leave. And like I said, the recruiting class coming in is not very, it's literally one 5-star guy, a 3-star nobody ever heard of, and that's it for right now.
Yeah.
And the 5-star guy is a 6'8 center, which really doesn't usually translate too well. I mean, it could gain legs. It's the first I've heard of it. I don't know if I love it, though, because Indiana's similar to UCLA in the expectation business, and Alford kind of had like that one really good recruiting class, and that was it. UCLA, not in his career. His career is obviously far better than that, but the expectations with the job to go along with it.
Speaking of teams like UCLA, Murray State, obviously the same type of tradition. But, you know, Jay Morant, does Murray State have the potential to be, because of Morant, you know, this year's Loyola Chicago without Sister Jean? And if they did lose in the OVC, say they lost to Belmont in the title game, would they still get in?
All right, so the second question is the good question, because it's been hammered home to death, right? The bubble this year is awful.
Yeah.
Like, there's reasonable arguments to be made that the SoCon could get 3 teams this year.
Yeah.
Like, you get me? Like, that's how bad the bubble is. Like, up until 2 weeks ago, an argument could have been made for Indiana. That's how bad this class is. This whole field is. So yeah, they can. Their resume says no. If the selection committee, I know they're not supposed to traffic in entertainment. If they were smart, they'd force them in no matter what. Because Morant's one of the few best players in the country.
Yeah.
And to your original question about if can they make noise, of course, because basketball is one of the few sports in the world where one guy can literally change the whole complexion of a game. It's not like baseball when a pitcher's relying on the offense to get him the win. Or football, where it's the quarterback, then the defense. One dude can literally carry a team through a tournament. Carmelo Anthony, circa Syracuse 2002, something like that. And he's a very special player who's not initially was that he couldn't shoot, and he's improved dramatically throughout the season. So if they get one, if they get in, yeah, they can make noise. Two, if they don't get it in the end, the tournament selection committee should just force them in. Because otherwise, who in the world wants to watch Oklahoma play basketball in March?
No, exactly. In fact, I mean, what's funny about Indiana, because they didn't have any top 100 BPI losses, and they beat 4 top 25 teams. A lot of people up until last night still had them kind of on the bubble, and now they're still only like the first 4 teams out. But you know, one of my sleeper teams for the year too, and I know they don't have a great schedule, but I think the Wolfpack in Nevada, I think that team is going to be a force to be reckoned with. I've seen them play not a lot, but enough. Where I think that they're going to be one of those teams nobody's going to want to play.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're basically returning everybody from last year's team, plus a couple transfers in. The question that, you know, people are going to ask about them is, do they test themselves enough this season prior to the conference schedule to, you know, be ready for the tournament? But, I mean, they're literally just coming off a loss in the regional semifinal last season. Like, it's not like they haven't been tested. We were just talking before about upperclassmen. They're littered with juniors and seniors. Like, you know, the first guy that gets any minutes on a team that's not a junior or senior is a freshman who plays barely. Do you know what I mean? So it's pretty ridiculous. It's the opposite model of a Duke or North Carolina, where Eric Musselman, it's kind of like how Fred Hoiberg did it at Iowa State when he was there. He's become like a transfer university. He's taken everybody's, you know, JUCO players or often forgotten talents, bunch of 6'7" guys across the board, then like a 6'11", then one random tiny guard in Jazz Johnson. But yeah. If you told me they were a Final Four team, I wouldn't be shocked. Because, listen, we just saw it. And it's the same team plus deeper, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, Joe, thanks for coming on again. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll be in touch. There's this month called March coming up around the corner. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, guys. I always appreciate it.
All right,
thanks,
Joe. This is Joe Nardone from College Basketball Today. When we come back, I'll have a little fun fact for you on Zion Williamson you may not have heard of before. And don't forget, we're giving away Red Sox Northeastern baseball tickets. Their first spring training game is this Friday. We'll give some tickets away next hour.
And we'll get into the MLB proposed rule changes.
Right. Yes.
Which you might find fascinating.
So we still have a lot to do. Let's get her done. It's Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Check out whatever ridiculous Twitter poll we're running at 99.3 ESPN Radio. Now it's Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
Sheeman and Shepherd, bringing it down a notch. 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Also check us out on Facebook Live and on Twitter, among other things. Just had an interesting conversation with Joe Nardone. Talked some college basketball. We got Duke, North Carolina tonight. 8:45 pregame, 9 o'clock tip-off here on 99.3 ESPN.
I've always felt it's a must-watch game for me growing up. Even when I was a younger kid, even though maybe not all the games were on, but even when I was a kid in the 70s, and it was just what you did. It was on CBS or whatever.
Yeah.
NBC back in the day, actually.
It's fun.
Yeah. It's just a game. I didn't care. There's some players on both teams I didn't care for, but it didn't matter. You knew the game was going to be great.
Who on Carolina did you not like?
Jeez.
You're right. I hated more people on Duke than Carolina. But if I had seen the 30 for 30 about Christian Laettner before he went to Duke, I would never have hated him like I did. Because that guy came from nothing in Buffalo.
Good thing you didn't see that before.
I didn't like Tar Heels like, I don't know, Jordan. Worthy.
I did not like four corner stuff. I hated it.
Well, you know what? I can't defend that. I wasn't alive for that. Yeah. I don't really care about that.
Yeah, I hated it.
What I do care about. I got nothing.
You got nothing. I got nothing. I got a fun fact about Zion Williamson. So this was in an interview from GQ magazine. He said he gained 100 pounds in his last 2 years of high school. Think about that. Think about growth spurts and everything. I mean, 100 pounds. In his last 2 years, he said he was amazed that he did not lose any athletic ability with the quick gain of weight. He said his freshman year, he was small, 6'3", 175.
Tiny.
And then 250. And then now he's 6'7", 285.
That's my goal, is to get to be small, 6'3", 175.
Oh, that would be awesome, 6'3", 175.
270.
I'd love to get down to 175.
Of the three of us, you could do it. You have a different frame.
I'm close.
You could get.
I'm about 8 pounds away from it right now.
Like, have you ever towed the line on the two bills?
I've gotten close.
Have you?
That's when I take a look in the mirror.
Yeah.
And normally go sober for a few weeks. That helps me.
Yeah, that helps.
When you cut drinking out,
I got to carry 10 pounds of liquor, beer, whatever you want to call it.
Beer's even tougher than.
Yeah, and
other
I love
stuff,
beer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gosh, I love beer.
I love beer. That's why I have light beer.
I have plenty of beers tonight. Might go a few tall boy Bud Heavies.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Whoa, get crazy.
I don't know.
Wait a second. Now, will the Crown Royal come out?
Nope. Don't do Crown Royal.
What about at the end?
Victory Glass? Maybe.
You won't do Crown Royal because you don't want to mix beer and Crown Royal, or because it's just not a Crown Royal night?
It's not a Crown Royal night. I got work tomorrow.
Oh, you always not feel good after a big Crown
Royal
day?
I don't feel good. I'm not. It's Wednesday.
Yeah. Well, it's a 9 o'clock game.
Well, for you, it's Thursday.
What if it's double, triple overtime? Midnight.
I don't care. I mean,
actually,
I'm up.
Actually,
I don't care.
I hope not.
I don't care. I'll let you guys know what happens.
I'll hang with it. I'll hang with the game. This is going to be a predominant topic on the show tomorrow. I'll do my homework. Yeah. I'll watch the game.
239 says, I'm 175. But I'm 5'7".
Le'Veon Bell, he's such a, I mean, what a hero. Keeping everything in perspective. Tweets out during our interview with Joe Nardone, free at last, free at last.
Uh-oh.
Thank God Almighty. I am free at last. Mm-hmm. Dr. Le'Veon Bell. I mean, really?
Wow.
Seriously? What a jackass. What a jackass.
Don't think that's what MLK meant?
No.
Just spitballing here.
Probably not.
I mean, it's just... Where can he go? I mean, like I said, I think the Jets, Houston, it would be fun if he came to the Buccaneers, but Jets, Houston, I think the top two landing spots, maybe Baltimore, Indy, Oakland, maybe Tampa Bay, but they got to do some salary cap maneuvering. But
first of all, he says he wants $50 million over 2 years. That's quarterback money. He's not getting that.
Anybody who gives him that guaranteed money is a stupid.
Why would you not just go draft a running back in the second round and pay him nothing? Why would you chew up $25 million a year? Granted, he's going to produce. I get that. He was asking for 17. That was ridiculous for the Steelers. So is 15 out there for him? But 25 mil a year?
Forget it.
I mean, Antonio Brown's not even going to approach that kind of money.
I don't get it. He's a running back. James Conner came in and there was basically no drop off.
And less drama.
No. Exactly.
I just don't understand it. How many running backs have the New England Patriots gone through in this little run? 30?
The only big name they ever really had at running back is Corey Dillon. I mean, if you're talking about that, if you're going, you know, past Sam Bam Cunningham
back in the day. That was not in his prime.
And you're going back against, you know, Tony in the 80s, you had Tony Collins and you had James. You know, SMU kid. But they've gone through three or four backs on it. They all do different things.
Yeah,
I think that's the way the NFL is there, by the way. And it's also being proven. I mean, that this one guy that you need to stretch the field. Well, you don't need that one guy to stretch the field. Yes, it helps. But if you have a Julian Edelman type or somebody of that ilk or Danny Amendola that's going to lead your team in catches, that does open up stuff for a lot of other teams. You don't need – the way the running back is catch the ball out of the backfield, which Le'Veon Bell does well. Let's not say he doesn't. Yeah. And something Kareem Hunt does very well also, which was sorely missing for that team. Although it wasn't because Williams did catch the ball and had three touchdowns for the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game.
Yes.
But
all right, Chris, could you take about 20 seconds? We're a new show. We're not even 2 years old yet, and some people want to know. They know you're an Alabama fan. Why are you rooting for the Tar Heels? It's fine.
Clarify again.
That's all right. New listener.
My entire family, except one outlier, is a Duke fan. We're all Tar Heel fans. I grew up a North Carolina Tar Heel basketball fan.
And your family's from North Carolina
My family is from North Carolina. My uncle's a Duke fan. We don't talk to him.
Is that the one you get mad at Christmas parties?
No.
Oh.
Get mad at him around Duke UNC games. No, that's a different side of the family.
Oh, is that the guy that waits for like 3 hours? You know he's going to bring it up if Duke beat you last time.
Yes, you know it's coming. Yes. So I grew up a North Carolina Tar Heel basketball. I'm an Alabama fan because I went there. I've been an Alabama fan since 2009 when I got accepted.
Right.
My fandom for the Tar Heels goes back to when I was pooping and peeing in my diapers.
All right.
I mean, the first time I cried during a sporting event was when the Tar Heels got upset by Weber State. Ooh. In the opening round. Was it 94, 95?
Yeah. That's right, Weber State.
Oh, gosh.
Wow. All right, now we're late, but I wanted to get that in. We'll recap headlines of the day. Duke, North Carolina, poker night last night, and we still got to get to this baseball rules changes coming up that you need to know about. So a lot to do in our final hour, plus your reaction to 239-337 ESPN. It's Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.